As promised, in studio guests, so excited. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Michelle.
There we go. How about Mark?
Good morning.
All right. Thank you guys for getting up now that you're retired and everything.
Yes.
It's like I feel very honored, and KTWH listeners, this is a treat that they're up this early and supporting community radio here. But what really piqued my interest was, I know you've done this for a super long time, doing the river monitoring. You live outside of Two Harbors.
Right.
On some property, beautiful property, that has what river running through it?
It's the west branch of the Knife River, and it's down what now is known as Oak Creek Road. It used to be an old railroad grade that went from, up north to Knife River back in the olden days. And now it's a real road, and there's a couple people living south of me. And that's been going on for many years. But then the trail starts and goes down to the river. And that's where I've been for about 9 years.
And so when you're monitoring it, you report your findings to some entity, right?
Yeah. It's the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency.
Oh, nice.
And they get volunteers, and we take readings. It's no chemistry or anything. We do observations, take temperature of the river, we look at the clarity, and record all that for about 17 weeks, and you just have to wait for your trail to open up from snow and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I started, it'll be my third week coming up on Mondays. So now I do it Mondays. I used to do it Fridays after work.
Right, exactly. Now you can do it. And so is that part of the deal, is to be kind of consistent so then it's easier to track?
Sort of, yeah. Yep.
Okay, cool. And Mark, you go out on these adventures with her?
I do at times, yes.
And do you have, like, test tubes that you put the water in?
Oh, it's not that technical. We take water clarity and, you know, just observe generally what wildlife is around, what the water clarity is, frogs, reptiles, you know, insects, things like that. So.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. interesting.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the water, but how, well, because the environment interacts
right.
with everything.
The ecosystem as a whole there, yes.
Yeah, right. The MPCA is not really looking for that, but I will tell you that over these past 9 years, I'd have to say that maybe a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago, this is still early spring, so mosquitoes are still baking in little ponds, you know, waiting to pop out. And they're not bad yet, but I used to wear a net over my head, and I would put DEET on my arms and whatever mm-hmm. is exposed, or make my own non-harmful spray to put on for mm-hmm. ticks and whatnot. But lately, the last few years, I haven't really been seeing that many insects, and I hope that's not a real bad sign, but everything's sort of quieter than it used to be.
Oh, interesting. And since you've been doing it for, you know, in the whole blip of the world, 9 years isn't that long, but
right.
But that's long enough to that you're seen as significant.
I see differences.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I used to I have a couple rocks that I go to and hang my thermometer into the river or whatnot from, and while I'd be down there, I'd be sitting down there relaxing, looking around, and I'd look down in the water, and there used to be little, what are those little?
Crayfish,
thank you.
Okay.
I'm losing it.
Yeah,
it's happening.
Well, yeah. There's a lot to lose,
but he can pick right up. I worry about that.
Yeah, he can fill in all my blank spots. It's nice. So crayfish used to be under this one rock, and I've been looking for the last few years, maybe 3 years, and there haven't been any. And I used to call him Grandpa. There was a great big one under there, and he was sort of the boss down there apparently. So I would see other little, the exoskeletons, and maybe they had just shed it or something.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've been looking and looking, and I don't see any little minnows, and there haven't really been any crayfish for a couple of years at least.
Has the water depth changed?
No, not really, except during the drought, of course, it goes really down, but it always flows right there where I've been going to the same spot, and you always take a picture every time, first thing, before you even report anything, I take a picture of it.
Okay.
And, yeah, the clarity, I have a Secchi disc, which is a tube that you fill up with the water, and then you turn and you look down into it, and there's a little black and white disc at the very bottom. It's 100 centimeters deep. And you try to see if you can see that all the way to the bottom. And that means, you know, it's clear. Otherwise, you draw it up with a string until you can see it. And then you read that measurement and record it. And over 9 years, I can almost, I know when it's going to be 100 centimeters and totally clear. So I bring the Secchi disc, but I don't always use it. Because once after a rain event, you might need it. Because then the turbidity has increased and it won't be very clear. It might be muddy and brown and... Then you'd use the Secchi disc to read how clear it is.
Oh, that's so cool. I am talking with Mary Clausen and Mark Coiter, and they are monitoring Knife River on their property outside of Two Harbors and have been doing it for 9 years now. What got you interested in this, Mary? Or do you have a background in this, or because your river... Rose right through your property? What got you interested?
It doesn't run through my property. It's about a mile and a half south of me on county. It's on county land.
Okay.
And the river kind of runs through a ranch or farm property of Kevin Bergman. And it used to be a trail. Of course, it was the railroad bed that went all the way to Knife River. And a lot of people used to snowmobile through there and four-wheel. And Kevin kind of, he fenced it off, and so there's no throughput right there anymore. And so that's kind of good in a way, because the traffic that would always go through the river would probably disturb that riverbed. And you want a nice undisturbed riverbed if you want to help promote life and an ecosystem. So I've always been interested in science and biology, environment. I've been picking up litter and garbage just about the whole 30 years I've been here. So, some of the people have been notified to stop doing that down that road.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you take annual pictures of how much trash you pick up every...
Well, I just pick up everything on my way up and on my way down, and whatever's new, I pick it up.
That's so crazy. And so... How did you find out about this? And if listeners are interested in volunteering, you said this is the Minnesota Pollution...
MPCA.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and they're looking for more volunteers, and there's plenty of rivers around. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if people have their own little favorite spot, they can check with MPCA to see if that's already being monitored. I don't really know the number of volunteers doing it. It's said in my little welcome back letter this year, but of course, it could be somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 people in Minnesota are doing this.
Wow.
Yeah.
And does there need to be a 9-year commitment, or it's you do it as...
Oh, no. No, you're open. It's volunteering, and it's so enjoyable. It's something I look forward to every week. It's just a beautiful place to be and spend some time. And, you just get used to it, and it's just part of your routine.
Right, right. And like you said, that you see the changes and, you know, that you're in tune with one section you know when something's off.
Oh, yeah. And a few years ago, a beaver was down there and built a dam right where I go and observe, and it got pretty far, and it held, and it made a beautiful lake above that, and I swear it was about a foot or maybe even 2 feet higher than the rest of the river, and it the beaver had a little leak spot, so the rest of the river did keep going down stream, of course, you know, and it finally washed out, I think, the following spring during spring runoff. It washed out.
The things you get to experience.
Yeah.
That's so, so awesome.
It was.
I'm talking with Mary and Mark, and they are river monitors. That just sounds so official. Do you get like a badge or anything?
I have a hat, and I got a pin this year, and I got a t-shirt.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh, that's super awesome. And you know, and speaking of volunteering, Mary's a volunteer here at KTWH, and know what? It's the Fun Drive week, and you can get t-shirts and hats and water bottles and all kinds of great premiums if you support KTWH this week. So let's kind of segue into your role in the importance of volunteering with KTWH Community Radio.
Well, I did just buy a hat at the Cabin Fever Reliever.
Okay.
And so I wore that proudly the other day, and it is wonderful. I love that hat. And I started out just, doing the promos for commercials, mm-hmm. and that was enough for me. I was still working at the time. Mm-hmm. And I just enjoy it. I can't stop coming up with ridiculous things to say, apparently. So, and Mark helps me. He's silly, too.
Oh, that's so awesome. And we really tried to kick off a radio, old-time radio theater show. And you were instrumental in that. And that takes a lot of time. And everyone who was interested all had other jobs. It's sitting there in a closet, and it may be resurrected.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It something could get resurrected, I suppose.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. So as a KTWH volunteer and supporter, is there a certain program or component of KTWH that you really enjoy? Is there one of your faves?
Well, the antenna on my little car just snapped off, and I couldn't really get the station until I was in town on a flat spot, and so I got to get that fixed. But it just barely comes in at my house because of the hills and whatnot, so I don't listen that regularly. Sometimes I stream it just to see what's going on. Do you guys have, like, not Science Friday, but every once in a while there's a really interesting program on that involves the environment and educational.
Well, Bob Lukanen does a bit of science, and those are just randomly put in. But then there's one that it's a half-hour show, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's two people, and they say they're not scientists. They don't wear white coats, but they're scientists or something. It's a
glad
super
about the white coat thing.
Citizen science is okay. You
yeah.
don't have to have.
And then we do like energy talk and bioneers, and so there's some different environmental type shows. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I enjoy that. I enjoy all of it. It is really such a refreshing station to listen to, because it's so local, and you hear local voices and you recognize who people are, and all the music is so diverse. I just love it. I could listen to it all day if it came in.
right, and that's why we're going to full power here. That's our goal in the next year or two. To raise those funds to expand our listening area and have a stronger signal. So.
Bring it on.
Yeah, right?
Bring in those toonies.
That's right.
You Canadians, eh?
Yeah. Now I'm going to lose my voice if I talk like this.
That's okay. Just drop folding money off. You'll be fine. It's all a station. We need to pay our bills like you guys.
Yes.
We went almost 20 minutes without any...
Nobody any said the word.
Right. Well, that's kind of nice.
Without really any tomfoolery. This is awesome.
It read, put kitty back in box.
We had to do that the other day, too.
Keep kitty in box.
Yeah.
This is KTWH, and we are in the middle of our fun drive, and we're just having fun in studio with Mary and Mark, who support KTWH and support the community as well and our waterways. So, anything else you would like to share with listeners before I got to let you go?
Well, they need some money just to keep the lights on here now. Mm. And some of the volunteers are starting to have outstretched hands, and we need to buy some rulers to smack them.
No. It costs money, you know. All
no,
they are made out of wood.
I'm totally teasing, of course.
Oh my goodness.
Don't listen to me.
And we really have it for a nonprofit that's been around for almost 10 years, not on the air for 10 years, but around for almost 10 years. We have a very modest budget, and the amount of quality and programming and outreach that we are able to do with a very modest. So any donation really adds to that pot.
That's right. And you guys are very, very good. Leo was telling us how good the station is at borrowing all the free programming that's out there from mm-hmm. other volunteer stations. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yep.
So you swap each other's brilliance and
yep.
play it out there.
Yep. And make it fresh, like you said, and something different every hour, basically.
Yes.
Unless it's a 2-hour show.
High degree of diversity. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Never bored.
There you go. And it's really easy to donate to KTWH. Just go to our website, click on donate. It's a safe and confidential, secure way to donate. You can always give us a call here and we can walk you through it. Again, confidential. At 218-595-6195, or you can always stop by our studios.
That's
we are
right.
in, yeah.
Drop it in the bucket.
There
Where is the bucket?
Go.
Where's your bucket?
We don't have a drive-through, but
we need a bucket.
Oh, there is a bucket. It's a big
launch a rock through a window. It'll get here.
No, we have a radio, an old-time radio up there. That's our donation box.
Ah.
So if we aren't in the office, you can certainly
drop a check
in there, or we're in a very cozy studio space here at in
There's
the harbor
under
Land.
The door as well.
Yes,
that too, or the old-fashioned mailing a check, and you can send that to KTWH PO box. Yeah. There's no box number. I think we're at like 210 or something.
Kitty, so, back in box.
Right?
There we go. It says P.O. box. So we do have a P.O. box, but you'll have to call us to get that. I guess it's it's in hiatus right now. All right. So there we go. It is the 2023 Spring Fund Drive, and we appreciate your support. And Mark and Mary, thank you so much for coming in and sharing some time with us.
Thank you so much for inviting us. This is very fun.